Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge that we can run to, our strength. And Lord, we are, you know, we're always so grateful and appreciative of all you do for us. Lord, as we sit and listen to your word, we ask for grace this morning. We ask for grace for open hearts, open ears, eyes to see. Lord, I ask you to help me as I speak to. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge your lordship here today in Jesus' name. Amen. So while I'm waiting for that to kick in, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on boundaries in community. And we spoke about how, you know, we're looking for the power of the Holy Spirit, but a lot of these things we have to do together. God isn't calling individual people. God's calling a people together, just like he drew the Israelites out of Egypt into the Promised Land. That was as a people. It wasn't a group of individuals just all happening to go in the one direction. They were a people together, and God blessed. And I spoke about that, one, because, you know, there are things that, you know, we need for ourselves with, you know, talking about gossip and criticism, but it's one of our values. And the value we were speaking about 2 weeks ago was together, that we, in God, we work together. And so today, I thought I would talk about another one of our values, which is listen. Our first calling is to find God, we spend time, and we pay attention. And we have probably heard my father, John, talk about a particular story back in 1997, which is a long time ago. And we had a week of listening prayer that actually, it wasn't supposed to be listening prayer. It ended up being a week of listening prayer where no one prayed, and it ended up going longer, maybe 9 days. And from that point, they believed, Dad believed, Mum believes, that that is our calling on this people, that if we actually take time to stop and listen, you know, we'll see great changes in our lives. But that was 18 years ago, and personally, I haven't made it a great habit in my life, and I won't speak for anyone else, but being human, I guess we're all like the rest of us, right? And we tend to get involved in our day-to-day lives, and we don't tend to stop. So listen today. Sorry, that's my subject. I'm not telling you to listen. But it would be nice if you did. Our world has become a constant feed of information and entertainment. Phones go with us everywhere, right? We connect to the internet constantly. There's ads on every flat surface, and I mean even buses and like everywhere you look. There's, if it's flat, they'll write an ad on. I don't know, right? And we have a 24-hour news cycle, and each bit of information that comes into our brain has one goal: it's to gain control of our attention. And therefore, our resources. And with so much information battling for attention in our mind, it's no wonder that our attention span seems to be shrinking. They say, I'm not sure what studies are behind it, but they say attention span's hovering around the 10-second mark at the moment. And I know when you watch TV, they do cuts, you know, cuts between scenes about every 3 seconds at the max, because they just keep moving along. They don't have one camera shot that goes for a long time. And I always find it's interesting how users abandon online videos as soon as there's a 2-second ad on the front. You know, just, nah, I'm not waiting for this. And the other funny thing, because I know like this, I know that the faster my internet connection gets and my computer gets, the more impatient I become. Because, you know, I look back, I remember as a kid playing a computer game, we used to load the tape in, press play, and wait about 7 minutes. And then you're playing about 30 seconds down the game, you die, rewind, play, wait 7 minutes. You know, kids couldn't tolerate it. These days, they'd probably go back to reading books. Yeah, but that's all we had then, right? So we had to deal with it. But not these days. Like I said, we have fast internet connections, and we just say it's slow and we move on. We just can't handle it. So the faster things get, the worse we become, the more impatient we become, yeah. And we all, you know, we can all relate to these small distractions, you know, the ads. But what is more concerning for me are the larger distractions, you know, that drive us away from our most significant goals, and they go unnoticed. And that is, you know, the attraction or the distraction of a lucrative and powerful career. Instead of using our talents to our local community. The attraction or distraction of a large and perfect home that pull us away from caring for the people who live in it. The distraction or the attraction of Facebook and its friends that steal most of our time that we could be spending with quality time with the people right in front of us. And the opportunity or the attraction, the distraction of spending money on newer and trendier possessions diverts us from actually using it to accomplish a greater good in the world. And these are the distractions that go unnoticed in our lives, and they cause irreversible harm. Our lives go unevaluated, and our greatest goals go unmet. Isaiah 55:1-3. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you will, without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. And as you know, even though he's talking about buying food there, he's not talking about food. And just three verses later in Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while he might be found. Call to him while he is near. Just for a quick break, I'd like to talk to Lenny for 1 second. Lenny, can you come up here for a minute? I had breakfast with Lenny this week, except I was fasting, so he had breakfast. I'm sure it was great. And we'll see how this mic goes. Otherwise,
hello.
But oh yeah, I've still got this one right. Yep, great. So we just had a chat about Lenny had a personal retreat. I think last week, the week before last, right? Yeah. Not this last calendar, the week before. And I found it some interesting some of the things he was talking to me about. And if he told me you all the things, it would take about 2 hours. So what we're going to do is just limit it to say 2 things. So first thing I want Lenny to tell me is what he found out with the retreat and the infinity of God. And I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the concept.
Okay. Well, the fact that God is infinite, like we all know, like everyone says that, like, oh, how great is our God who's infinitely loving and caring and has infinite understanding. But then to step back and have a look at what that actually means and how that applies to our lives, us having a God that is infinite, like what does that mean for us? And so for me, like the first thing I looked at is like heaven. And I was talking, Dad really brought this to my attention, was that like when we go to heaven, a while ago when I used to think of heaven, it was like, you know, we go and we worship God and God is really great. And so it's like, it sounds good, but it's like, if God is like, okay, so I want to use the example of like skydiving. So if you go skydiving, it's your first jump. I haven't actually done it, but I'm pretty sure it'd be pretty exhilarating and great. And then the second time you do it, again, really quite fun and great, but slowly it plateaus down. And I'm sure for the people that do it every day, it's actually kind of just a routine. They just go through it and, you know, and it can't be like that with God. Like we can't have that as God is that. We get to heaven, whoa, God is amazing. We worship him and then and we worship him for eternity. And like, that actually doesn't sound that fantastic to me. But the great and amazing thing is that God is infinite, which really boggles our mind. But we get to heaven and it's like, whoa, look, there is God. And then the next minute, whoa, this is just, and it just keeps getting better and better for all of eternity. And I mean, isn't that the most amazing thing to think of, is that in heaven, it's just going to be constantly getting better and better and just more and more revelation of God. And it's just like, it's the best thing that you could ever think of, is that it just constantly getting better and better, even though it's already like at the max of our brain's capacity of awesomeness. So it's just like, when I think of heaven now, it's like, that is incredible. And so we serve a God that's infinite, and that's not just for heaven, that's for here on earth. So your day today might be rubbish or it might be great, but the awesome thing is that tomorrow it can be better. And you think of all the awesome things that have happened in the past with the church and stuff, like God pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us and that, and that was fantastic. But when you look at infinity, that is, it's not nothing, but it's so close. And that is an exciting thing, because it's like all that really awesome and amazing stuff, that is nothing compared to what God has for us. And so just the thought that tomorrow can be better and then the next day can be better. Like at the start of the year with the youth, God's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us. And it's like, how can this really get much better? Like it's really, and it kind of is like, well, if God's just going to keep pouring, it's like it can plateau. But the amazing thing is that every single week it can be getting better and better and better, closer and closer to God. And
so, yeah, one more quick one, and then there's a point to these stories. I want Lenny, because he sat for a week with God, and he had heaps of thoughts, but another one he was talking about was milk and meat, which really confronted me personally, and I just want him to share it, and then I'll talk about it a bit afterwards.
Yeah. So in Hebrews, I don't even know exactly where it is, but it talks about like, brothers, you should be teachers by now. You are still drinking milk like babies when you should be having solid food. And so I was talking about this with Isaac, and we were both really growing an understanding about what this meant. And so babies, in real life, they just drink milk. They take from the mum, and they're not really contributing anything to the family yet. Like, they're just babies, they're just drinking in, and there can be babies in the church. So if we are just come, like, whenever we have a question, just go on YouTube and, oh, like, what's the answer to this? And like, oh, like, any questions that you have with God, just go to a friend and, oh, what does this mean? What is it? And then listen in church and getting on, that's great. And it's what we're called to have, is gaining understanding of everyone else. But that is just milk. We're called to be getting our own revelation personally, going to, like it says, through constant use, are able to differentiate between good and evil. And like, by constant use of going into the Spirit and going into that secret place with God, we're able to then get that real solid food, that personal revelation where God reveals himself to you, which is just so powerful. And we're all called to be teachers. We're all called to be having understanding and sharing that with the people around us. Did you want me to share about the church? Like, what you were?
Not right now. We'll come back to that, because we need to keep on. Thank you, Lenny. We'll get Lenny to share a bit more later, because he told me lots of things, and it's sort of great how someone can sit with God and hear things, right? And as we go talking today about listening and spending time with God, you'll understand why I got Lenny up. But when I spoke to him and he was talking to me this week about milk and meat, I was very confronted, because I thought personally I probably researched or whatever more than other people, but it's all, you know, someone else's books, or it's someone else's podcast, or it's dad's sermons. It's all milk. It's getting, like, that's great, but it doesn't replace learning to grow up and sit with God and let God talk to you. Like, the information's good from other people, and you know, that's community, but you can't just live off that. You also need to spend time with God, and that's what Lenny did for that. He spent a whole week doing it, listening and reading his Bible, and he says it's, you know, done amazing things for him, and I just found it very challenging. So as we move on. Okay, so talking about a world that's very focused on your attention and grabbing you, and I just have five keys to sort of try and help reverse that. I'm going to be focusing a lot on that number four, find time alone, just in the next few minutes, but here's the list of them. Number one, and this applies to everything, pause and reflect. Next time you desire to make a purchase, check Facebook, work late, engage in a habit that controls you, pause. Consider the urge and reflect upon it. Is it really the most efficient use, effective use of your time or money? Is there something more significant you can accomplish? Number two, review and record. I think it's a good one, and we've just finished a CAP money course here, and where you write down what you record, what you do. And so journal time and money for a week. At night, spend 5 to 10 minutes to make some rough notes on your day. How much time did I spend working? How much energy did I put towards my family, my friends, and my faith? To what end did I use my financial resources this week? The hard evidence of your life's focus will become easy to diagnose and difficult to argue when you see it on paper. Number three, get some outside perspective. Ask a trusted friend or spouse or family member to speak into your life. Have you noticed any unhealthy habits in my life? When they answer, don't get defensive and look for the truth in their response. Four, find time alone. Like I said, I'll just talk about that one a bit more today. But begin to practice moments away from the distractions of the world. It's about, you know, finding humility. And for that finding time alone in the morning, Henry Ward Beecher, who's an American abolitionist from ages ago, but anyway, that's who said it. He said, the first hour is the rudder of the day. So how you spend that first hour will determine where you go that day. Number five, find good examples. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Surround yourself with people who are pursuing Christ. And that's why if you hear stories from someone like Letty, there's no harm in going to talk to him and say, shit, how was that experience? And how did it change your life? And, you know, just you become like the people you spend time with. Okay, so we're going to just talk about that number four, which is spending time alone. It sort of comes back into listen, which is one of our values. And I thought I'd just talk about three different, there's three of these subjects like meditation. I just thought I'd tell you so you know up front. And because when we talk about listening prayer, for a lot of us that's just hard. Like we don't know exactly what to do and, you know, how do you sit and not pray and our attention goes all over the place. Listening prayer is a practiced art, so the more you discipline yourself to do it, it becomes more enjoyable, like most disciplines. But I just have a few key ways you can do, at least spend time with God alone. And you can practice these. Meditation, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't wither, whatever they do prospers. So what is meditation? I'll say up front that meditation is not the same as like Eastern, you know, meditation sort of from other religions. That meditation is all about emptying yourself. Christian meditation is actually all about filling yourself. And it's about filling yourself with the Word of God. So this, I have four things how you can meditate. One, you can listen to God's Word. Two, you can reflect on His works, things He does, either the ones you read in the Bible or the one, His faithfulness among us every day. You can rehearse God's deeds. That's a good one. You know, see what God does and do it. And you can ruminate on God's law. Repentance and obedience are essential features in any biblical understanding of meditation. And there's many biblical examples from the start of the Old Testament right through the end. It says in Genesis, Isaac used to meditate at evening. Elijah would sit and listen for the still small voice of God. David in the Psalm 119, which he wrote, he said he would contemplate God's ways. Just sit and just think about God's ways. That would be a great thing to do every day. Just sit and think about what God does. Jeremiah, he said that the word of God was like fire shut up in his bones. You know, Paul told Timothy that he should meditate. Like Paul wrote Timothy a letter, and he told Timothy he should meditate on these so that his progress would be evident to all. So if you want your progress to be evident, you know, where you're going in your spiritual life, start meditating. And Jesus would often withdraw to a lonely place to be with his Father. Meditation is as simple as hearing God's voice and obeying his word. The truth of the matter is the God of the universe desires our fellowship. You know, we're always taught to spend time with him, but, and that's good for us, but it's actually God longs to spend time with us too. And once again, that started from the garden where he walked with Adam and Eve. Meditation is all about waiting and sitting and creating an emotional and a spiritual space which allows Christ to walk into your life. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And that, even though that scripture, we all often use it for unbelievers, that scripture was written to churches. It wasn't written to unbelievers to let Christ into their life. It was written to believers to allow Christ into their life. So Christ stands at the door and he knocks, and we need to open that, shut the door to distraction and attraction, and open it to Christ. Another way that we can listen and spend time with God alone is to study. John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, study, listening, spending time with God, it leads to a complete transformation of a person. It replaces old destructive habits with new life-giving habits. And this is why Paul said in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by reading the Bible and studying God's word, that is what renews your mind. And it becomes very evident in your life or in anybody's life once they start to study or once they start to renew their mind, because their life changes. And what should we study? Philippians says, "Whatever is lovely, think on these things." So study becomes our vehicle to think on the good things, on the lovely things. And in the Old Testament, we're told to write these things on the doors of our houses. That's what they used to do. But in the New Testament, we had to write it on our hearts. And I'm just saying that everybody studies. Even though I'm asking you to study the Word of God today as part of listening as one of our values, everybody here does study, which is great. But what we study determines the habits that are formed. So we will conform to the things, to the order of the things being studied, which means if you study Facebook, that's the habits that are formed, that's who you become, that's the order of person you become. And if it's TV, you become the order of that person. Whatever you choose to study, because you all do study, that determines your habits. And if you flip it around, when you see someone's habits, you also know what they study. So meditation is devotional and study is analytical, but both are used to seek God's plan for your life. And the last one today is solitude. Habakkuk says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." So I've put solitude up there because it's, you know, a nice word, but silence, you know, silence before God, sort of linking them both together. You know, we're in a world that people fear being alone. So that, you know, it can drive us to noise, It can drive us to crowds. We often keep up words in our ears when it's silent. I do this myself a lot now. You know, when I'm vacuuming or mowing, I've got music or something goes in my ears sort of full time. And, you know, you can walk around the shops and see people around the shops, you know, with their earphones on, and they don't want to be distracted. But we do that so we're not condemned to silence. But that's not what they're doing. You know, it's not actually solitude. It's more loneliness. And Jesus calls us from loneliness to solitude or silence, and they're completely different. Solitude is waiting for God so that we can focus on Him and let Him fill us. So instead of talking, we listen. And even if we stop talking, if our heart isn't listening to God, it's not silence. There's an old proverb that says, those who open their mouths, close their eyes. And the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and hear. So why can't we bear to remain silent? Why do we always like to talk? I was thinking about this a bit. Silence actually makes us feel helpless because we rely on words to manage and to control others. And if we are silent, who will take control? Silence is intimately related to trust. Our tongue is our most powerful weapon of manipulation. And what we tend to do is we tend to utter a frantic stream of words to control our image. We're always adjusting our public image with what we say, or in the case of Facebook, what we post or type. We fear what others see in us, and we feel that we have to straighten out their understanding. So when we do something, we think, oh, people are going to think that's... And then we just start talking. I did this because I did, you know... We always talk to, you know, make ourselves look good in the understanding of every single person in our social circle. I need you to understand my actions. When I act a certain way, I need you to understand that, so I'm going to keep on talking until you do. Silence stops self-justification. You've got to let God be your justifier. And when we choose to be silent, I said silence is intimately related to trust. When we choose to stay silent, we hand over trust in ourselves to God. If we're silent, who takes control? Well, God does. And that's why when we had a bit of trouble in this church, in the 90s, God told Dad not to say one word. He could have gotten up and defended all the accusations, but God told him to remain silent and let God justify. And today, I'm encouraging you, one of our church values is listen. I'm encouraging you to meditate, which is to read God's word, to study it, to rehearse it, to think about it, to study God's word, and to be silent. And I have an idea, because on the Daily Audio Bible, and I just heard this a day or two ago because it's coming up to it, every June 7 is their long walk day. And what they do is he encourages all his people, like he doesn't meet them, it's over a podcast. But what he says is every year on June 7, plan for a long walk. July 7, thanks David. Plan for a long walk, you know, along a beach. Just take an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, I don't know what you have. But take a long walk. So that's what they do, and when I was listening, I was thinking, that's good. And I was thinking, I haven't asked anyone here, but I thought, you know, the first weekend in July, we should try and make a habit to take a long walk. And, yeah, like I said, I haven't asked any leaders, but in the end, it's just spending time with God, so there's nothing wrong with that. So we have the first weekend in July coming up, next weekend, and I would like to start the financial year. I would like you to pause and reflect and find somewhere in those 2 days to book in a long walk. You know, take an hour or two or five. And use it for solitude and silence and meditation, thinking about what God has done in your life, you know, rehearsing some of God's, look at creation all around you, and take time to start to slow down.